And we continue at 106 in the afternoon. Talk Radio 790 KABC, the John Phillips Show, broadcasting live in exile from the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Living Room Studios. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang has the week off, so you're going to have to wait until Monday to find out if he was one of the ones that held down the balloons at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. 800-222-KABC is the telephone number, 1-800-222-5222. It is a pleasure to welcome our next guest to the program. He is a voice that is very familiar to the Southern California airwaves. You listen to his podcast, the Evil Thoughts Podcast, where you can download all of your favorite podcasts. I listen to it on the plane. And you can get him online at joecrummy.com and follow him on Twitter at Joe Crummy. Joe Crummy, welcome to the show.
Boy, that was great. Well done, John. That's better than I can do it, and I do it every day. That's amazing. You're a pro. You're a man. Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by. Now, let's start. I want to give you a crack at this pinata because the media is so bad at their job, Joe. They are just so bad. They keep screwing up these stories. They screwed up the Covington Catholic School story. They screwed up the Russia collusion hoax. They screwed up Kim Jong-un being in a coma. They screwed up the Jussie Smollett story. And now they screwed up the shooting in Colorado. They told us it was an anti-gay hate crime. It turns out that's not the case. And we still don't even have a straight story on whatever the hell happened to Paul Pelosi.
Yeah, it's really funny. You should have seen Alison Camerota last night on CNN when she found out, when she got the news, that the attorneys for the shooter want everybody to know that he identifies as non-binary. Boy, that was really funny. I stuck it up on my podcast today. I mean, it's really funny. When the narrative crumbles right in front of them, it's just funny. And by the way, speaking of narratives, take a look at the Walmart story. We didn't know. This is the shooting that happened at Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia last night. I think five or six people were shot there. And it was funny because when I got on Twitter this morning, I bumped into Ann Twitter's tweet and Coulter's tweet. And she was talking about, like, we still don't know the name or the identity of the person. And she says, I'm invoking the Coulter rule. And I figured it's probably because it didn't fit the narrative. You know, the guy who pulled the trigger, I think now is a person of color. They just don't want you to know that. It's amazing. The narrative is the most important thing. The facts don't really matter.
And my favorite part about all of this was when Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, was going after the state of Colorado.
That was really fun. I'm sick of this, and she used the word there. I'm sick of this stuff. And I'm just thinking, right, there's 650 murders a year in Chicago. She's not that sick of those murders. It's different. They just jump. It's the narrative that's most important. It's not the facts. And, you know, then what happens is the facts sometimes actually come out, and then they're forced to deal with it. And, again, it was really funny. Whoa. And what Alison Camerota did last night on CNN was really interesting, too, because if you parse what she said, she goes, the attorneys are saying that the shooter now identifies as non-binary, which is not what they said. They said he identifies as non-binary. She says now, she adds in now to make it seem as though they did it just on purpose to get away from some kind of a hate crime, which is the story they're sticking with now.
Yeah, exactly. It happened years ago because after the individual identified as non-binary and changed their name, they told the father that they killed themselves. And the father thought the kid was dead. And it wasn't until recently that the father, who was a porn star, found out that the kid was in fact alive. And the news had to tell the father that the kid was the one that did the shooting.
Oh, man. Yeah, there was another point I was going to make about this. It just amazes me to see. And it's every, you know, if you follow the news every day, you see exactly what you were talking about. You see them do it over and over and over again. And it gets kind of, it's a double-edged sword because you see how funny it is. And they walk. I said to myself when I heard about this shooting, I said to myself, I would not be surprised if it's somebody who happened to frequent the club or know the people at the club and probably had a beef. I mean, you never know. I mean, we still don't know exactly what the motivation was, you know, but it's amazing to me that they walk into the wall over and over again. And if you watch them do it every day, it's funny, but it's also a double-edged sword because you realize they keep doing it because they know it works for a lot of people who don't pay close attention.
And we had so few facts at the very beginning of this. The only thing that I knew for sure is that it wasn't Alec Baldwin.
Do we even have a motive yet? I mean,
no.
Do we have a motive?
Right? No. Yeah, and you know what, Joe? You're so right. Because when I first heard that two of the people who got shot were employees, the first thing I said to myself is this could be a disgruntled employee or this could be someone who got kicked out of the bar.
Right, somebody with a beef who comes back. This is where they hang, and they got a beef, and they're going to take it out on somebody. That's the first thing I thought. But again, these people—it's got to be, you know, related to Trump somehow and white supremacy and all that. I mean, the political agenda is the most important thing. You know, I like to say something in general because when I listen to say the president or any of these people in power, and most of the time it doesn't matter what party it is, I say to myself, why do they say the stupid stuff they say? And after a while, you come to realize it's just about retaining the money and the power and the status. That's all they want. You know, they're not really thinking about you and me and what's best for the country. It's really about them and maintaining their status, whether it's in Washington or whether it's in some state house somewhere. That's what they're more interested in than anything else. And all the rest of it, they'll just manage when they have to. I mean, that's why they do what they do. And again, back to the fake narrative in the news about all the shooters have to be disgruntled white males who somehow vote for Donald Trump and they hate people that aren't like them. And the same thing over and over again. They're going to keep pushing that. And it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. Just that's just what they want. They've got a political agenda. They're just going to push it, and they don't really give a damn about the truth. It doesn't matter.
Now, here's a question, Joe. We've seen lawsuits pop up against One America News, Fox News, other news agencies that came out and questioned the Dominion software in the election. And they're saying they were defamed. They're saying that they had their reputation damaged, and they're taking these organizations to court. When I was watching the coverage after this shooting happened on MSNBC in particular and CNN, they blame not just the right or not just conservatives, but they blame people by name. There was one report on NBC News that blamed Libs of TikTok, that account, and they blamed Tucker right. Carlson by name for the shooting. I wonder if, and I'm not an attorney, I don't think you are either, but I wonder if Tucker Carlson or Libs of TikTok could take them to court over what they said because it's provably false.
Well, you know, that's above my pay grade because you were oddly enough, right? I'm not an attorney, so I'd like to see where that goes. But you notice who are the boogeymen they've got to take down. And let me add into that. I mean, the brand new boogeyman that they just love now is Elon Musk. I mean, this guy has to be stopped. I've been watching the news do one hit piece after another on this guy now for at least 2 months. Once you get on their radar as somebody they don't like, you know, it's kind of like it was with Trump. When Trump was just some raconteur running around New York City, Playboy, doing this and that, he could show up on the David Letterman show back in the day and get his butt kissed by Dave. It was all very cute, and everybody had a great time. And as soon as he got into politics or got his feet wet and started to talk about what he really thought, all of a sudden he became the devil incarnate. Same thing with Elon Musk. He was kind of cool. You know, he was this rich billionaire with these electric cars, and he was kind of a nutty guy with SpaceX and how great that was. As soon as he started to step into the political stage and not even say he's, you know, I'm strictly a right winger. He's not even saying that. But as soon as he started to get into it and he wasn't with the lefty narrative, boom, they turned the guns on him, and they will investigate him up and down just like they're going to do with you know, everybody else they don't like. They're using the Department of Justice, as you well know, as a political arm of the Biden administration, and that is exactly what they're doing, again, with a special counsel on Trump again. I wouldn't be surprised if they want to investigate Elon Musk and have sick the SEC on Elon Musk. FTX, maybe not so much, maybe until after the election, because all the money is flowing to the Democrats. But, you know, once you become a boogeyman, one of the big things they do is they just nail you in the press over and over again. And two, if you're really lucky, they start a bunch of investigations.
That's so true. They want to imprison anyone they don't like. And we've got a great example of that going on right now, where you have, I don't know if you watch the show, Chrisley Knows Best, about Todd Chrisley. It's on the USA Network after pro wrestling. So I know this audience watches it weekly. But he was recently convicted of essentially lying on bank forms. He did what everyone in Corona did back in 2008, which was lie about how much money he had to get loans that he shouldn't have been given, and then he filed for bankruptcy when things went south. And they proved that he lied. They proved that he did not have the assets that he claimed to have. So now he's going to prison for 12 years. His wife is going to prison for 7 years. And man, they couldn't throw them in prison and get rid of the key fast enough. Then here in California, you got a guy who mows down a bunch of deputy sheriffs. And what do? They don't even leave him in jail while they start the trial. They let him go out on bail. I don't even think he had to pay any bail. I think they just let the guy out. How is it that you can run over a bunch of deputies and you don't even have to spend a night in jail? Or maybe he did, but he was released right away. And if you're Todd Chrisley, you lie on a form and you get more money than the bank should have loaned you, and you go to prison for 12 years.
Well, you know, this is cancer, is what it is, because when you what we're doing is we're destroying every institution. You know, I'll blame it on the left, but I mean, what we're ending up doing is destroying every single institution out there. And if people start thinking you do not have equal rights or equal protection or equal justice under the law, that's cancer. I mean, that's total cancer right there. You take a look at what we've done. We've politicized the Justice Department. We don't trust the FBI. You take a look at local justice and the story you just mentioned. You take a look at all this kind of stuff, even back again to the Colorado Springs shooting. You take a look at that. Apparently, this guy, a year or so ago, phoned in a bomb threat against his own mother. They dropped the case. They never adjudicated it. And because it was never adjudicated, he never showed up when he was looking for to buy weapons. The Colorado red flag law didn't kick into effect because he didn't have a criminal record. They turned the other for some reason. They just let him go. And that's an interesting part of the story that I don't see the media talk too much about, that you had a DA that could have prosecuted him and didn't do a damn thing about it. And once again, you have these crazy people. They're back out on the street. And then a year later, look what happens.
Well, they're treating violent people and crazy people as if they're a protected class. And if violent criminals are a protected class and people who have a screw loose are a protected class, then you've got to treat them very delicately. And, oh, we don't want to give this guy a record. And, oh, we don't want to stigmatize his mental illness. So let's not move forward by putting him on any kind of list or anything like that. But if you're Donald Trump or you're Elon Musk or you're Todd Chrisley, if you're someone right. They don't like for some reason, they don't like the cut of your jib, guess what? You go right. To prison.
Well, there you go again. It's back to cancer. I mean, you take a look at the look what we've done to the election system now in the United States. People now are not trusting elections. Look, I've been around for a long time, and people used to grumble all the time when they would lose, you know, and that sometimes they talk about recounts, et cetera. We didn't even know, and it's back to my favorite topic now, who was the mayor of Los Angeles for 8 days after the election. And it was 8 days after the election when we found out that, oddly enough, Karen Bass had been elected mayor of Los Angeles, and Rick Caruso, we've already had this conversation twice. The guy, I spent like $50 million in still law. That really hurt, man. I don't care what anybody says. But, I mean, it took 8 days. And, you know, the kicker that cracked me up was 8 days later, just like it was in the primary, it worked out the exact same way. And you know what they said? They said with 74% of the vote counted 8 days later. So there was 26% of the vote 8 days after the election. They still hadn't counted. And it was great because when you vote in L.A., this is the first time I voted, I think, since 2018. All these new touch screens, and it was really sexy and really cool. And, you know, you just press this and do this, and aren't we really special? And 8 days later, they had only counted 74% of the ballots.
Here's a funny one. We're how many days removed from the election? I still don't know who my assemblyman is. They haven't counted all the ballots. They haven't called the race. And what were they talking about this election? We have to save democracy. If we don't vote, we're going to get rid of democracy. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, okay, if saving democracy was what we did in November, let's take a look at this assembly seat. We still don't know who the person is, which means they're up in Sacramento right now deciding who's on what committee. They're hiring staff. They're going through orientation. And because we don't have a member of the legislature that's been called, we don't have any representation going on. All the major decisions are going on right now in Sacramento, and this district has no one.
Yeah, well, there's that. I mean, yeah, there's that. I didn't know that. Well, see, yeah, I And the irony is there, because you put your finger on it. For all this talk about saving democracy, you think, you know what it reminds me of is when I call customer service, you know, and they always say the same thing. You know, your call is important to us, you know, but, you know, and it was, I always say, if it's so important to you, why don't you hire someone to take it? You know, I don't get it. If I'm so important, if democracy is so important, I can't understand why they can't figure out, say, in Maricopa County, you had 30% of the tabulator machines weren't working. If it's so important, your precious democracy, you'd think that you might want to get your ducks in a row before you have an election.
Here's what I don't understand. Technology has made every aspect of life easier. You think back at what TVs used to be like in the early days of television. They were black and white. Then they all weighed 5,000 pounds. And now they're cheap. They're flat screen. You can hang them up on the wall like a picture. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
In the 80s and the 90s, Joe, they used to count all the votes that night. You'd wake up the next morning, you'd know who your governor's going to be, you'd know who your senator's going to be, your congressman, your member of the state legislature. Now it's like, how's a month from tomorrow?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're not going to know. You know, we didn't know about the House of Representatives. Who controlled that? It was almost a week there, wasn't it? You don't even know. So it's like election week now. It's not election day. It's really like election week. And they even told us, you know what's happened? I think we've got Americans are, you know, there's two different kinds of voting now. You know, there's this thing where you just mail out all these votes. I mail out all these ballots, rather. And the other people actually show up and vote. And I, you know, for some, let me say this. I think the vote in the United States has been trivialized. And it's getting down to the point, it's like, if you want Joe Biden, text, you know, FKB. You know, if you want, you know, it's sort of that. What they've done is they've made it easy, so easy to vote, too easy to vote, so that the people who really don't know much about it because they don't care much about it, and they're certainly not going to take any time to actually commit to vote or do any of that kind of stuff. They want those votes. They want those votes because those are the people who don't know anything. They're the people that you can fake out the easiest. So they want those people who don't give a damn, because if you give a damn, you're actually sitting around thinking about it, and you put some time and effort into it, and you're actually going to go stand in line. If you're going to do all that, you probably are thinking about it. It reminds me of this. If people really care about something or value something, they'll stand in line to do it. Like when I drive on Lancashire Boulevard, and I got to always stay awake when I'm in Lancashire, because when I go by In-N-Out Burger, you've got a long line of cars that are waiting for hamburgers in the middle of the street, and you don't want to rear end on any of them when you go by. If, say, Black Friday, which is coming up, what, tomorrow or the day after that, people will get up at 3 o'clock if they see value there. What we've done to the vote now is devalue it, because we wouldn't want to take up any of your time, and we wouldn't want you to think too much about it. So just text FJB. That's, I'm telling you, that's what it is. The Democrats figured out something really smart. You know, get the dumbest, most ignorant people to vote by making it as easy as possible, so you don't have to think about it at all. You don't have to know anything about it. You don't have to really think about it. No effort whatsoever. And I think that's a really brilliant strategy. It's about quantity. It's certainly not about the quality of the vote.
Oh, yeah. And then they make it real interesting by taking all these people who pay zero attention to the news, putting a ballot in their mailbox at the size of a Cheesecake Factory menu. So they get to screw up every aspect of your life.
That's exactly right. You have all these morons voting. They love it, and they're calling that democracy. And I'm going, that's exactly that. I think that's what's going on. Mailing everybody a ballot, and people still don't get the difference between what we used to call getting an absentee ballot, where you would actually request it yourself and you would have a proof of address and you said, I want this ballot. People still don't, a lot of people know the difference between that and then you've got the registrar's office who just sends a ballot to everybody on the list, whether they're alive or and kicking or not. There's a big difference between the two.
Well, if we're going to vote by mail, we should just put Bed Bath & Beyond in charge. They seem to understand the mail pretty well.
Yeah, right. They're good at that, you know, or those real estate people that stuff your box with all kinds of what house they just sold and all this kind of stuff. Those people are great, too. They work the mail really good. That's what's happened. I think the vote has been trivialized. The vote used to be something that was important to people. And notice how you will hear on the left that people are too busy or they can't get there or it's too hard or it's this or it's that or it's dark out or it's cold out. In a way, it was kind of cool when everybody would stand in line because it was kind of a communal thing. It was a right I won't say a passage, you might want to call it that, but I mean, it was a rite. It was something, you know, not an R-I-G-H-T, but an R-I-T-E. It was a rite where you're going to go vote now because it's important and it's your civic duty and it's going to be a pain in the butt, but you're going to do it because it's important that you do it and that's your job in a democracy. Now it's not that way at all. It's like, oh, this vote, you know, I certainly wouldn't want to waste any of your time having to actually do anything here. You know, we don't. So the attitude toward voting is very different now.
Joe Crummy, host of the Evil Thoughts podcast. You can download it wherever you download your favorite podcast. You can get him online at joecrummy.com and follow him on Twitter at Joe Crummy. Joe Crummy, thanks so much for stopping by and have yourself a very happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, John. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you again.
All right. We'll chat again soon. Joe Crummy, everyone. It's 1:26. Right now it's time to take a look at the roads. It's 1:36 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. We just spoke with Joe Crummy about how long it takes in the state of California to count all the ballots. And it doesn't matter that we're the home to Silicon Valley. We create the computers and the smartphones and the technology that makes the world run, and it takes us a month to figure out who won certain elections. But I'll tell you, there is other technology, new technology, that we also create here in the state of California that sometimes results in the world being thrown a curveball. It eliminates some problems, but it creates new ones. I do not have a telephone, a landline at my house, and I haven't for many, many years. There's no need for me to have one, I guess, if the cell towers go down because there's a massive earthquake or something along those lines, I'll be in trouble. But for the most part, not having a telephone line, a landline at my house has not caused me one bit of trouble. One of the things that I do miss about the landline is how often you would get wrong numbers. You remember those? The phone would ring, you'd answer the phone. Hello, is Susan there? No one by the name of Susan lives here. This is Susan's number. No, I'm sorry. This is not Susan's house. I don't know what to tell you. And you'd have those very awkward conversations with people on the other side of the phone, and then you'd hang up. Oh, my goodness. My mom's best friend actually has an unfortunate situation going on with her landline. She lives in Riverside County, and Riverside County has Section 8 housing, like every other county in California. And in their Section 8 units, they have a sticker that they put on one of the walls that says, if there's a problem, this is the number that you call. Well, there is a misprint on the stickers that they purchased, and they put stickers in all of the Section 8 homes in Riverside County with her personal number on it. So her phone rings off the hook 24/7, nonstop from Section 8 housing people who have problems with their plumbing, they have problems with their sewage line, they have problems with their neighbors, and they want her to take care of it right away. That would be a nightmare, and that happened. But most of us just had to deal with the occasional wrong number. Now what we get is we get the spam calls on the cell phone. But with the current situation that we have now with the smartphones, I very rarely ever get a wrong number because you don't type in numbers that often. You just type in a person's name. And if the phone is already in or if the number's already in your phone, the ability to screw it up has been minimized. And so we lose out on those sorts of things. I don't know if any of you saw the Today Show today, but there is an interesting story about a wrong number. There was two individuals who started an unlikely friendship back in 2016 when a woman by the name of Dench accidentally sent a text message to a gentleman by the name of Hinton telling the then 17-year-old that Thanksgiving dinner was at her house on November 24th at 3 p.m. When the teen asked who sent him the message, Dench replied, "Your grandma," with an elderly woman emoji. Hinton wrote back asking for a photo to prove that the number really belonged to his grandmother, and after she sent a selfie image of herself at work, he replied with a photo of his face and a text saying, "She's not his grandma. Can I still get a plate, though?" he said. "Of course you can. That's what grandmas do, feed everyone." And she replied with a piece of cake emoji. After Hinton shared the interaction on his social media, his post went viral. Hundreds of thousands of people have followed the pair's story since their first Thanksgiving meal together in Mesa, Arizona, 6 years ago. Apparently, they're going to be making a Netflix series or Netflix movie about this chance encounter between these two people who have become very good friends over a text message being sent to the wrong number. And you think to yourself, how random is that, that she sent a text message to the wrong number? Because people, it doesn't matter where you live anymore. Everyone has a different area code. It used to be that if you lived in Orange County, you were 714-949. If you lived in LA County, you were 213-310-323. But people just get these random area codes now because the area code is attached to the phone, not to the location where the line is installed. So for her to send a text message to a number, and it just happens to be a 17-year-old that lives in the same city as her, and he asks if he can come over and have a Thanksgiving plate, and those two become friends, that is like winning the lottery and lightning striking on the same day. I can't believe that actually happened. It's one of those things where with old technology, I guess you could assume that if you call the wrong number, you start developing a relationship with the person. Maybe it could happen that way, I guess. I don't know. I usually just hung up. But these people apparently have developed quite a friendship, and now there's going to be a Netflix special about them. The closest thing I can come to, and I don't know if any of you have experienced this, the closest thing I can come to anything like this happening to me is when your cell phone is on, and I don't even know how to do this, but other people around me know how to do this. But instead of texting someone a picture or a video or whatever it is that you want to send them, one of the things that you can do on your cell phone is you can airdrop something to someone where you just put your phone on and it shows you all the phones that are around you and you pick the one you want to send it to and then you can send them whatever pictures or videos or files that you want to send them. Sometimes the phones are named, other times they're not because I'm technologically a Luddite and I don't know anything about the phone that I use. I would imagine that my phone does not have a name attached to it, so maybe it just says iPhone or something like that. And I can't tell you the number of times I've been on a plane or I've been in a public place where my phone is on and some random person just starts airdropping me photos from their vacation or something. I never respond to it because why would I? But that's what people do now. So instead of hearing their voice and getting a wrong number, you get all of their vacation pictures. You get all of their vacation videos. You get videos of their traffic accidents. Whatever it is that they're trying to send to someone, I don't know what the accuracy rate is for airdropping things to people, but I get the wrong ones all the time. I don't think I ever purposely tell anyone to airdrop something to me. I just tell them to text it to me. So I've never actually asked for an airdrop, but I get them all the time. In fact, a friend of mine had a very strange experience on a cruise ship where his phone was on and some woman accidentally sent him a video that was of her in the bathtub doing something very inappropriate unless you know that that's coming to you. And my friend gets it and recognizes who it is. It's the cleaning lady on his floor, and she was trying to send it to someone else and sent it to him by accident. That was embarrassing. I don't think they'll be spending Thanksgiving together. Had to clear that one up. But interesting story. A wrong text message is leading to a grandmother, and now I guess what? A 22-year-old? Spending their seventh Thanksgiving together, all because of a text message that was sent to the wrong number by accident. It's 1:40. It's 1:50 on the John Phillips Show, Talk Radio 790 KABC. KABC legal analyst Royal Oaks joins us after the news at 2, so make sure you stick around for that. Royal's always got a lot to say about the most pressing legal issues facing the country, and today will be no exception. But first, we know that the warden wants to ban all gasoline-powered cars in the state of California by 2035. And the state legislature, in their infinite wisdom, decided to send him a bill that would do exactly that, and the warden signed it into law. So come 2035, you're not going to be able to buy a new car that is gasoline-powered. I guess they're all going to be electric cars, which means whenever we have a brownout, you're going to be stuck wherever you are. Well, there's one official in Los Angeles who doesn't like that law, but not for the reasons that you're assuming. He doesn't like it because he doesn't think that Newsom is banning gas-powered cars fast enough, and in Los Angeles, they want to ban them quicker than that. 2035, that's too far into the future. L.A. City Councilman Paul Koretz, who just lost an election to a socialist who runs around the city telling us that Joe Biden's a racist and a rapist, he wants to ban the sale of new gas cars by 2030, 5 years ahead of the warden. Koretz, who's in his final weeks on the council, trying to do as much damage as he possibly can before he leaves, introduced a motion that seeks to phase out the sale of new gasoline, diesel, and natural gas vehicles, beginning with all such cars that cost over $28,000 by 2028 and cars that cost over $22,000 by 2029 and all cars by 2030. So he wants to make sure that if you're buying a new car, which is not, by the way, that far into the future, if he wants to start this out at 2028, we're just knocking on the door of 2023. That's 5 years from now. 5 years from now, this fool wants to ban gasoline-powered cars. How can that happen? What, he's just going to snap his fingers and suddenly Henry Ford is going to come from the grave? It's all right, we have to make a change on the factory. No more gasoline. What is he going to do? Get Mr. Toyota on the line over in Japan? You got to change what you're producing. It's got to be all electric. Do these people have any idea what kind of stress this is going to put on the power grid in a state that cannot keep the lights on right now as it is? Have they thought this thing through? What's going to happen if we're going through a very, very hot summer, which they're all convinced we're going to have all the time because they think that the climate change is going to kill off the earth in 10 years. What's going to happen if we've got a real scorcher and they tell us, don't turn the air conditioning on, don't use any appliances, and certainly don't charge your car. Otherwise, the entire state is going to be without power because we're going to blow all the circuits. Have they thought through what we're all supposed to do then? I'm sure they haven't. And he's going to be gone from office anyway. So if this turns into a complete disaster and we start yelling at him, who knows if he'll even live here then? He doesn't have to live in Los Angeles. He doesn't have to live in California. He can go anywhere he wants. He's not going to be part of the council. It's going to be some other idiot who's in that office, probably trying to speed it up from 2028. Part of me thinks that these people are stupid. And part of me thinks that they just like to screw with us. Let's push this car off a cliff to see what'll happen. What happens? This is like a science fiction movie or an episode of The Twilight Zone. What happens if all the cars in a great big state just don't work? Well, let's find out. How about California? Wherever you are, when the music stops, is where you're stuck, unless you've got walking shoes. You've got walking shoes, you can get from point A to point B, but if you need a car, you're out of luck. Unbelievable. It's 1:55. This is Talk Radio 790 KABC. It's 1:58 on the John Phillips Show on this Getaway Wednesday. KABC legal analyst Royal Oaks joins us next. He's going to weigh in on the shooting in Colorado and so much more. We've got one more hour coming up on the John Phillips Show right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.